Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm not as good as you, and you're cheating paying off the referee squad.
I thought we were going to talk about, you know, the Jordan Love's path to the Hall of Fame that began last night.
Looks pretty good.
It's a good win. It's a good win against a flawed Chiefs team.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, now the Chiefs are flawed.
Oh, it's such a bitter
Bears fan take.
I've been shouting from the mountaintop all year they don't have enough weapons, okay? And I continue. It's still a nice
Their receivers play, are bad.
No question. They're not good. There's no way that team gets through three playoff games to win a Super Bowl. They don't have enough.
Their receivers are bad. Mm. There's no question about that.
No way.
They get through one or two. They're not getting through three.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. Good win for the beloved Green Bay Packers last night. Corey, we were discussing the special teams debacle yesterday by the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
It was not so good. I don't know that I've ever seen anything quite like that in an NFL game. Not only just the two blocked punts, but just how emphatically they were done. What did you make of the way that the Indianapolis Colts were able to pull that off yesterday, and what do you think this means for Craig Aukerman and the Titans as they move forward here?
Well, I mean, it is coaching because people have to know their assignments, right? But I have a hard time blaming anyone other than Josh Whyle when Josh Whyle lets a guy slam right by him into the kicker. I mean, was Craig Aukerman whispering in his ear, "Let him go, let him go"?
You're gonna get Stilly fired up later.
People saying that I'm making excuses for Aukerman. I just want to say,
yeah. Well, look, I mean, you know, look. Obviously, coaching is part of it. You know, I said guys have to know their assignments. They have to know what they're doing. But this is part of the problem when you put rookies into some of these spots. I mean, we saw Colton Dowell earlier in the season and in preseason, you know, struggling out there on special teams. And now he's become, he's making nice plays on special teams. But, you know, I always say you don't get better trading away good players. Who used to be the Titans' protector back there?
It's Byard.
Oh, yeah, an all-pro player. And now it's a rookie fifth-round pick from Cincinnati. Some of it has to do with personnel. Some of it has to do with coaching. Some of it you have to credit Indianapolis for knowing exactly what they wanted to do after blocking the first one and taking advantage of the situation. It was terrible. I mean, there's no question about it. And I can't believe Nick Folk. I mean, Nick Folk comes in to punt, and his first punt comes after the last two punts were blocked. I mean, what is he thinking back there after watching the last two punts get blocked? I'm supposed to get this thing out of here? And he hits a beauty. So you can talk about preparation. I think, you know, you can reasonably have that conversation. But I also think that there's some personal accountability for the players.
Well, just sticking with this, because we talked about this just from a Vrabel standpoint, and there's, you know, people out for blood, and they, as Robbie said, we know at 2 o'clock today we're gonna have Aukerman's greatest hits. I personally don't think I think if there's any sort of move on Aukerman, I don't think that would be Mike Vrabel generated. What do you think about that?
Mike Vrabel has never fired anybody in season since he's been here, has he?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's not happening now. And he drew the line in the sand with Paul yesterday, saying it all starts with me, which is absolutely what you do as the head coach of a football team, or really the head of any organization. It starts with me, because that's absolutely the truth. So I would be stunned if he did anything with Craig Aukerman today other than to support him and say, you know, we have to be better. We have to take a long look at who we're putting out there. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Whyle again because he's hurt now. That's just what we'll get. And look, you know, we're looking at this game, and I'm reading people on Twitter saying this is the worst Titans team of all time, which is flat out ridiculous. I mean, and my response was, have you only been watching the team for 5 years? And, you know, yes, this loss is disappointing. And, yes, the special teams breakdown is catastrophic. There's no question, and you have every right to be upset about it. They lost in overtime. I mean, they didn't lose this game 40-0. I mean, they lost. They had multiple chances to win this football game. If you want to be upset about something, be upset about that. Be upset about the offense having a chance to win the game in regulation and not being able to do it. Be upset about the defense having a chance to lock down and win the game and not being able to do it. I mean, they had multiple chances to win this game.
What did you think of the way Will Levis played yesterday?
You know, I continue to like what I see. I mean, I felt like he had more ownership in that game. Is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, he wanted to win that football game, and he had the look of a guy trying to put the team on his back and saying, "I will lead you here." And I'm not just saying, you know, from the helicopter dive at the 50, but just, you know, the way he attacked that game, the heated conversation with, you know, DeAndre Hopkins on the sideline. You know, and just the way he's carrying himself, you know, trying to make plays. I think that's all very, very encouraging. You know, there's some throws he missed. There's some unbelievable throws he made. I think Stillman's texting me now. I think I said last night at Sports Extra, 6 games in, I'm moving into the camp that you can draft something else other than quarterback next year. I think, you know, I want to see the rest of the way, but I'm very encouraged by where it's headed.
By the way, just I'm getting texts too. You know, Byard hasn't been he wasn't the personal protector. He was a few years ago.
He was a few years ago, but he also was back there again earlier this season. I don't know for how long, but he was back there this season.
Did he jump in this year? Okay. I mean, he was definitely the personal protector when they
for a while he was
the first Vrabel special.
Yeah, he was
the
great
Texans.
Throw.
Yeah,
he was the personal protector for a couple of years, and then they moved him out. And I know Monty Hooker's been back there as well, so I don't know who all has been back there. I don't know how long Josh Wiley's been back there.
But to your point, a rookie, and that's a more important, you know, job than maybe some people realize. And by the way, this
is a really important job. Yeah.
Yesterday brings up again what I've heard from coaches before. What's the most important play in football? It's the punt.
The punt.
I'm just saying. So, Corey, this team, and I'm with you on Levis. I think ownership, I think the intangibles all are looking good for him. I mean, he can't every week say it's like the worst he's played. Like at some point, you know, you have to. I thought he played pretty well yesterday. But this team now, 4-8, they're going to finish last in the AFC South. I mean, from a fan perspective, this is just get the best draft pick possible at this point, you know?
Yeah.
From a team perspective, how do you – I felt like – I don't know if you felt the same way in the post game, but I felt like there was some realization starting with Vrabel, like that's the gut punch that now everybody can stop talking about anything in terms of this team achieving something.
Yeah, it felt like the season was over with that one. And as we knew that going into this game that to have any semblance of a season, they were going to have to win this one. And I think, you know, you could see it written all over his face, but also with his words, how they threw it all on the table in this one and felt like they gave everything that they had and it wasn't good enough. And so now, and now that you lose Henry, you lose Simmons, you lose Stoney. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see the battle to get these guys back for Monday night in Miami because he's got his hands full with that assignment.
I threw this out there earlier. Who has more yards on Monday night, the Titans as a team or Tyreek Hill? Which way are we going?
I'll go with the Titans.
Okay, that's good.
I'll go with the Titans.
But you paused.
But no, absolutely. absolutely. You know, one of the things I was really encouraged about yesterday, they rushed for almost 200 yards.
They did.
Yep.
I think that group with Duncan and Raiden's out there is just more physical in the run game. You know, obviously the pass protection needs some work, but before they didn't do either well. Okay. And this group starting last week started showing the ability to run the ball. I think the physical engagement, the line of scrimmage, is much better with this group. I think you know where I'm going with that. And you know, of the one thing that Raidens has done well, we've always thought he was a better run blocker than a pass protector. So I think you've got something to build on there, you know, with this offense the rest of the way. Now, you're probably not going to have Derrick Henry Monday night. And to me, the best way to play the Chiefs is to keep their offense on the sideline. So if you could run the ball 45 times Monday night, I think that that would be the preferred attack.
Well, Corey, we got a beauty setting up on Monday night. Got the Packers and the Giants on Monday Night Football. You got the Titans and the Dolphins. A nice doubleheader going on at the same time on Monday. So our viewing pleasure. You're gonna be in for one on Monday. Be ready.
You think we could work a trade?
I know. Can we just have Dolphins Packers? That'd be cool.
Yeah,
man.
And Titans.
That'd be nice.
Giants.
Yeah, Titans. So. Two good games.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, did you guys hear the stat on the Patriots?
I did not. The 0 points at home? I saw that one.
Well, it's like the first team to lose 3 or 4 in a row and not give up more than 10 points.
It's a tough one. That is a tough one. We're in those beautiful throwback uniforms yesterday, too, and get shut out 6-0 by the Chargers.
Bring back Mac Patricia's OC, I say.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the head coach is a genius. We were told that for years until Tom Brady left, and then he – suddenly wasn't a genius.
There is that. Corey, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we will talk to you next week.
I am a genius. That is clear.
It is. We already knew
rooting
that.
For, you know, when you choose to root for teams like the Cubs and the Bears your whole life, it really, really supports that.
It does. No question. Thank you, anyway. Corey.
Later.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest on Robbie and Rexall. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Titans fall 31-28 to Indianapolis. And it was a disaster on special teams. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecallstn.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Titans fall 31-28 yesterday to the Colts, and special teams, just an absolute disaster. So they get the first punt blocked, which, by the way, I mean, Stonehouse took an absolute shot on that play too. But the first punt gets blocked. The Colts pick it up. They score a touchdown. The Titans intercept the ensuing two-point conversion attempt. Imani Hooker runs it back for, I guess, a two-point conversion. It was a touchdown that he ran back for, but it was awarded a two-point conversion. And then the next time the Titans punt, Stonehouse gets absolutely crushed back there. It's not, they got to him quickly enough for it to not even be ruled a blocked punt. It was a rushing attempt is what it goes down in the books as, and a fumble. So if you look at the box score, Ryan Stonehouse has one carry for minus 11 yards.
Messed up their rushing average.
It did mess up the rushing average quite a bit. And now you've lost Stonehouse for what I assume is the year. I mean, it was a nasty-looking injury yesterday on the replay. As you said, walking around in the locker room after the game in crutches, and did not look good for Ryan Stonehouse. And that ends up being the difference in the game. That's 10 points. So they scored the touchdown. I guess it's not 10 points. It's 9 points. They scored the touchdown on the blocked punt the first time. You held them the second time around. And they got a field goal.
So actually, it's 7 points because you got 2 off the free.
That is true. Back. So you got 2 back.
What a weird ass game.
That's too much math for me. I'm not doing all that stuff. They scored. Indianapolis scored 9 points on it. There you go. Yeah. We'll put it that way. Just a disaster. And we've talked about this. Not only 2 blocked punts, essentially, but just emphatic. I mean, they were back there very quickly. They were back there so quickly on the second one that Stonehouse didn't even get it off. It's just brutal, and it can't happen in an NFL game. And, you know, Jared is yelling on Twitter yesterday as all this is going down about Craig Aukerman, which is funny to watch.
What did he say, by the way? Like, what specifically did he say?
I'll go back and find it.
Anything really funny?
No, it's just, you know, all caps tweets always make me laugh sometimes.
Oh, so Aukerman in all caps?
It's, yes. Yeah. It's just all caps tweets.
We'll Aukerman! Go back. That's all the tweet is? Just Aukerman! Just Aukerman!
But I mean, that's pretty bad yesterday. And it's one of those games where when something is that bad, you do, it makes you think about the coach the next day. And I'm with you. Like, I don't think Vrabel has the appetite to fire a coach in the middle of the season. I do wonder, though, personally, like with as much of a disaster as that one was, if there's not a phone call that he gets today from AB Adam Strunk that's like, hey, I need you to go ahead and get rid of the special teams coordinator.
Now, listen, and I know people are out for Craig Aukerman, and I understand it. But if AB Adam Strunk does do that, like to me, if I'm Mike Vrabel, that's another reason that I'm iffy is looking around. Looking around. I don't think she should do that. I think that if you have faith in your head coach, you have faith in your GM, the people you hire, people you pay a lot of money to do the job, you should let them do their job. So if that's the case, like if Aukerman gets fired today, I don't think he will, but if he does, then to me that's another sign of an owner who's overreaching, which is what we saw with the firing of John Robinson in season last season. That's how I will view it.
They have fired a special teams coordinator before, I believe at the behest of an owner.
They did. Well, yeah. I mean, now that was a great press conference the day after Mike Mularkey fired Bobby April,
yes.
Which was the day after the Houston Texans beat the – I want to say it was the Notre Dame guy. The always injured, speedy Will Fuller.
Oh, yeah, Will Fuller.
I'm pretty
yeah.
sure it was Will Fuller on a punt return. And, I mean – I really think if I could hear some audio, some old pressers, I think I asked like three different ways. So Amy made you fire him, you know, and not just me, but like that was the whole line of questioning was really, Mike, you fired one of your best friends in life?
Right.
Or did Amy fire one of your best friends in life?
Right.
Oh, no, it'd been some things that had been. OK, well, I don't know. I don't have confirmation that Amy made him do it, but yeah,
just gotta put
the games in
together.
Houston, you know,
yeah,
the Adams family. In Houston, yep. Watching the team that replaced their team and then embarrassment like that. Yeah, you know, it's not too hard to play chess on that one.
So I'm just saying.
I'm sorry, checkers.
I'm just saying. Maybe there's a chance it happens today. I mean, it's.
No, I'm not ruling it out. If it does, though, I absolutely do not think Vrabel would do this. And as I've said before, on this and any other situation like this, the in-season coach firing to me is stupid because. You obviously are already struggling with the Titans special teams to communicate things and get things done. So take away someone and put more labor on the assistant to the person who is culpable for these mistakes. Why does that help you? Now, at 4-8, why does it matter? Well, you can say that too. I guess if you're a Titans fan looking for a tank, great. Fire some coaches so that you don't have enough people to do the work you need done. But in general, an in-season coach firing to me is, I mean, it's, if something like there's some problem in the building in terms of relationships or whatever, or, you know, basically you're just a desperate coach who fires your OC because you're about to get fired or something like that. So I guess you could look at it like that from Vrabel, but Vrabel's not about to get fired.
Can John Hines coach special teams in football?
Oh, bringing in John Hines.
You got Minnesota 3-0. In-season coaching change.
I tell you what. Hines and Lavi, come on in here. Ghosts of Pred's past.
Well, look, in all seriousness, the special teams, it's interesting because you break it down by like segments because the punting of Ryan Stonehouse has been excellent this year. Nick Folk has been excellent this
year. Good job, Aukerman, because Jared blamed him for previous failures in specialist performance. So good job, Aukerman.
The specialists have been very good this year. And then there's what happened yesterday, which is an absolute debacle. There's the Baltimore game in London where you send out Kyle Phillips to field a punt with basically no time left in the half where anything good can happen for you. He muffs it. You basically gift wrap 3 points to Baltimore there. I mean, it's not been very good on certain aspects of the special teams so far this year, and some of the decision-making has not been great either. So, I mean, I have not necessarily been in the – Craig Aukerman is the worst coach to ever grace the football field crowd that Jared and PK have been in, where it looks like there's a little bit of unity there on the Stilly and Pauly show.
Interesting how much they agree, isn't it?
It is. It's very interesting. But, I mean, that's something that happened yesterday in the National Football League that you cannot allow to happen. I've never seen anything quite like that yesterday. That we saw from the Titans.
Nah, it's atrocious. And as someone points out, like they timed up the one, and I agree. But then that's your whole operation, if you're the special teams coach, is to prevent things like that from happening. Two in a game is utterly absurd.
Well,
it's indefensible.
Well, it's indefensible. And then, by the way, Stonehouse gets knocked out of the game, and you've got an extra point attempt, which could have won you the game in regulation yesterday.
Yep.
That is about 15 yards wide left, and it just looked like the timing was off on that play. Like, it didn't look on the replay like Tannehill struggled to, you know, get the laces out or anything like that, but just like the timing was off, and all of a sudden you missed the extra point, and you have to go to overtime.
Right. Looked a little slow, and that messed up folks' timing. And Kaharski quoted, had a quote about, you know, it's been a couple weeks since Tannehill's worked on one of those, which that's a mistake. I mean, it has to go to coaching. Like, you need to have all your backups prepared. It's not something that I would ever think of before something like this happened, but that's why when you're paid to think of these things, you need to think of these things.
Especially when you're a special teams coach. Like, these are the things you think about all week.
You would think.
You would think. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More on the Titans' loss to the Colts coming up next. Your thoughts on the special teams debacle against Indianapolis. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. The Titans fall 31-28 to Indianapolis yesterday. Dropped to 4-8 on the regular season. Bad, bad day on special teams for the Titans. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Let's go to our 1025 the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Buffalo. Buffalo, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, and how y'all doing up here in Eastern Kentucky Parkway?
Nice. Thanks for calling in.
Titans, man, that was a heartbreaker. But if you look at the big picture, and I hate to go there, but if you're thinking about draft picks, to lose an overtime game, you look like kind of like a hero, but, you know, you're still on your spiral down to get a good draft pick. How about my Green Bay Packers last night? No more love hating, no more fire LaFleur, no more talk about what do we do and where are we going. I mean, Green Bay sitting in the seventh seed. I can't believe they beat the dang Super Bowl champions. I mean, come on. What the heck is going on? Y'all have a good day.
Thanks for the call. Was that a shot at me?
I don't know, but you know who he sounded like? He sounded like the dude in There's Something About Mary. No. 7 minute abs. 7 minute abs. I don't know why I just thought about that. Anybody who hasn't seen that movie, I'm talking about a serial killer. Buffalo, I'm not saying you're a serial killer. I'm just saying it's exactly what I thought of when I heard you talking.
I just thought that could have been a shot at me and LaFleur.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I tell you what, I'm glad he brought it up because you need to give a little respect to Matt LaFleur. Yeah, everybody says he's an idiot. Oh, that's a very popular take on this station. I saw Matt LaFleur.
I mean, he is an idiot, but he had a nice game last night.
I mean, yeah, at some point, I don't know, man. Seems like maybe he should get some credit for winning, and now he's got another quarterback who all of a sudden is good, and I saw him absolutely school Steve Spagnuolo last night. Am I wrong?
He looked good. He did. Okay. Called a nice game last night.
You tell me when does he get off your idiot list? You have to win like 3 Super Bowls?
Well, he should have won at least one, maybe 2 by now. So, yeah, that'd be a good start.
It's okay. All right, we'll start with 3 Super Bowls.
All right. No, I mean, look, the draft part of this, the Titans, according to Tankathon.com, our friends at Tankathon.com, Titans hold the 8th overall pick right now. So you lose the game in overtime. You're 4-8. The Jets, the Giants, the Bears all at 4-8. Washington at 4-9. So you're right there kind of in that mix. And we went through this earlier, Joe. You've got the Dolphins coming up on Monday Night Football, 2 more games against the Texans, a game against Seattle, a game against Jacksonville. Again, not saying that they're absolutely going to lose out, but there is a chance that the Titans could lose out as they move forward here. They're probably not going to be favored in any of those games, I don't think.
So yeah, probably not.
If you lose out, that's 4-13 overall. And dating back to last year, that would be 20 out of 24 losses for you. You lose 7 in a row to end last year. You win 4 this year. 13 losses, so 13 plus 7 in my Hendersonville High School math. That's 20 out of 24 right there.
Nice,
very good.
Nice work.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like the Titans fans, and look, at this point, you know, you were holding out some hope for some kind of miraculous run. I don't think too many people were, but some may have been. You want to beat the Colts. You had a great chance to beat the Colts. your punt team doesn't completely just implode, you do beat the Colts. But now you're probably a lot more of you thinking about the draft positioning. And, you know, I do think that if you're top five, you will have a chance to take one of those tackles, which to me is the move if you can do it. If you believe they're as good as people think they are. But on the other side of this, if you're Vrabel and you're looking at 20, and you're looking at 4-20, a 4-20 run, I don't think it would get him fired. I think it'd be fair to say that next year he'd be on some level. I mean, really, it's the off season is the hot seat, right? It's the entire process of trying to use all that to your disposal to improve yourself and then get back to being a respectable football team next year. But if you're Amy Adams Strunk, how are you looking at these last few games? You know, like, you would like a draft pick too, but like, how close are you evaluating, you know, the coaching in particular of this football team?
Yeah.
And it's just like, Vrabel and the staff, those guys are going to throw everything they can every week into winning every one of these games, but I think there's a pretty good chance they don't win a single one of them.
Well, and there now you've got a Jeffrey Simmons injury to deal with, and Paul Kuharsky reported yesterday that it's not going to keep him out the rest of the year. But is he available against Miami? Is he available the week after that? Like, is it 4 weeks from now? When's Jeffrey Simmons going to be back? Because obviously, I mean, he is your linchpin defensively, and he's what makes everything go on that side of the ball. You know, the Derrick Henry part of this, he's in concussion protocol. Schefter put out that his status for Monday's game is in question. I was like, well, thank you. Yes, he's in concussion protocol. I don't necessarily expect that to be a long-term thing with Henry. So, I mean, he'll be back at some point this year. But a team that doesn't have a lot of room for error anyway, you know, if you've got an extended period of time here without Simmons in particular, I mean, that's not good on that side of the ball without your best player.
No, I mean, it's
hard to imagine you winning some of those games without him.
Right. And this team, that's the thing, is like last week, it's like, look at the injury report. It's so light.
Yeah.
You know, injuries really aren't – yes, they've had a lot of different offensive line combinations. They've had some injuries. Every single team in this league has had some critical injuries. But it's been a much better year on that front. But now you get these two in a loss like that, and it's like, whew, where does it go from here? I got to call it Colin. He says, Stonehouse has been good, but doesn't he lead the league in touchbacks? Yeah, he punts 14 times a game,
that.
Dude.
They were talking about that yesterday on the broadcast. They're like, well, one thing he probably needs to work on, he leads the NFL in touchbacks. I'm like, well – how many punts has he had? They punt all the time in this offense.
Yeah, high volume. Now, look,
he can still get better at that.
Yes, he still does not have the wedge going like Brett Kern. He's so close, but he can't. He always has the bounce, even on the, you know, the different style of punt that he has, you know, with a short field. But he always gets the bounce into the end zone, whereas Kern had a magical way of making it come back.
Well, he's probably going to have to work on the offseason, because I would guess that his season is probably done.
Yes. I saw him walk around in crutches after the game. You saw the injury. It looks bad. I would not look for him the rest of the year. Derrick Henry was in the locker room. You know, he didn't talk, because if you're in concussion protocol, you're not going to. But he was in the locker room talking with his teammates, good spirits. He was actually, like, talking about the hit, the helmet-to-helmet hit he took and all this stuff. And he's going to be fine, but there's a pretty good chance that he won't be in the next game, you know. So you're already up against it, and then imagine not having 98-22.
Matt from Nashville has come up with a new hashtag. Hashtag embarrassing for Harrison. I kind of like it.
I love it, man. I like – someone had starving for Marvin.
Yeah,
but embarrassing for Harrison is actually much better.
It's pretty good. Problem is, though, like, as bad as the Titans are, they got some doozies in front of them right now in, like, the draft order. Like, the Patriots got beat 6-0 yesterday. They're 2-10. We know how bad Carolina
is. Which dog doo-doo team would you like to coach next year?
Exactly. We know how bad Carolina is, and Chicago holds their first-round pick. And then there's Chicago themselves, who are at 4-8, and the Jets, who are at 4-8. Which, by the way, you can put the Aaron Rodgers coming back this year stuff to bed.
Rest up, man.
Yeah, he's not.
Get
he's
that
not back.
Achilles stronger.
Yeah. The Giants are 4-8. So, like, the Titans are bad, and I think they've got a chance to lose the rest of their games. But the Jets have lost 5 games in a row. The Commanders have lost 4 games in a row. The Patriots have lost 5 games in a row. There's going to be some competition for some of these higher draft picks.
Yeah, that's a heck of a fight to the finish to get one of these high picks, I tell you what. Embarrassing for Harrison's pretty good. I'm trying to think of something for Olu. You so blue for Olu. Let's go with that.
Yeah. That'll work. Put it on the bumper sticker.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. So, I mean, there's that to look forward to if you're a Titans fan. How far in the draft can you fit? I mean, it's clear they're going to be in last place in the AFC South. The Colts are 7-5. They still hold on to the last playoff spot. Big win for the Texans yesterday. They take down Denver. They're at 7-5. And you were talking about this a minute ago. You know who controls their destiny for the number one overall seed in the AFC? The mighty Jacksonville
Duval.
Monday night game for them tonight against Cincinnati.
Yeah, which could have been a good game. Dennis, hashtag punt block for draft stock.
That's pretty good. Keep them coming.
This is what we've devolved to, folks.
We've devolved to.
We don't need to talk about this football team anymore. Let's just make some hashtags about their crappy team and good draft stock.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More on the Titans coming up next. We'll get into Will Levis, his performance. He was not very happy with his performance after the game yesterday. Is that justified? More on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We got some tickets to give away. A four-pack of tickets to see MTSU Blue Raiders basketball as they take on Belmont at Murphy Center coming up this Saturday. Be 615-737-1025. Be the first caller. 615-737-1025. Rapid fire. 615-737-1025. If you are the first caller, you win a four-pack of tickets to Blue Raiders basketball as MTSU takes on Belmont at the Murphy Center on Saturday.
Point made to me, and something to keep in mind for, you know, the person talking about his touchbacks. He also leads the league in punts inside the 20, as it was pointed out to me.
He does.
So he leads the league in all things punting.
Distance.
Including
net punting.
Punts getting blown up on in one game. Craig Colquitt tweets, and of course he is father of Dustin.
Britton.
VFL. Great punters. And he says, Stonehouse uses 3 to 4 sets before he punts. Colts took advantage of a slow, deliberate punting style. And my response to him was, fine, but like all of those things need to be related to coaching, right? And you know what he does. Like Vrabel said yesterday, like, Ryan needs to help us out on one of them, but I mean, these are all things, these are all contingencies and variables and things that you look to the special teams coordinator to make sure you don't have disaster happen.
On the second one where he got tackled in the backfield, I don't care how fast
his
punting style was.
I don't care if he sprinted a 4-1 backward and then punted over his head, he still would have been blocked.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not a punting expert by any stretch of the imagination, so could Stonehouse get the ball off a little quicker? Maybe he could, and maybe that makes the difference on the first one. Second one, I don't know who's getting that ball off. Yeah. Just a tough one.
I'm interested. Utterly disastrous day. Yeah, and he talked about it yesterday, and he said, "Put it on me." And yeah, I mean, he'll have obviously more. He'll have looked at the film thoroughly and things like that. But I mean, there's no. This is one of those pigs you can't put lipstick on.
No. No question about that. Will Levis, 16-33, 224 yards, one touchdown, a quarterback rating of 80.9 yesterday. It was an interesting day for Will Levis. With those numbers, also had a play where the ball gets knocked out of his hand as he throws it. It's ruled a fumble on the field. It looked like Indy may have intercepted it anyway. Indy gets up. Will Levis forces the fumble, picks the ball up, runs to the end zone. Eventually, he's ruled down, so it ends up being a fumble recovered by Indianapolis that was then forced by Will Levis and recovered back to Tennessee. So it was a strange play on that play, but interesting stuff there. And then Will Levis took off on a scramble one time and jumped straight up in the air and got helicoptered around and picked up the first down and landed. He was okay and started screaming and fired his team up, all that stuff. Interesting day from Will Levis yesterday. One of the strangest football games I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was a very weird game. But I, you know, it's funny. Yeah, sitting there watching this game, and I'm like, I really don't want to write a column about this football team. But I thought that Will Levis was the most interesting thing. I think it was one of those days that endears a player further to his teammates, even though he basically yelled at one of them, one of the most established and successful ones. And they were fine after that, and they kept playing. I think he endeared himself to the fans more yesterday with some of the stuff he did. And – Jill Jelinek, I tweeted out her video earlier. All you Vrabel word parsers slash video, you know, facial expression watchers, my God, it looked like he was almost about to hug Will Levis after that game. So, and Vrabel in the post game too. You know, competes his ass off was one of his quotes about Levis, but he was obviously impressed too. I think it was a good day for Levis in terms of just all the things that you need to be the guy you build around. I think he's doing the right things. Still don't know if he's good enough. Also, it's very hard to tell sometimes, or most times.
When he
drops back in that excuse of a pocket.
He got sacked 6 times yesterday. Indianapolis credited with 9 quarterback hits. So more of the same of what we've seen for the most part this year under pretty good duress. And it is interesting. I mean, they ran the ball so well yesterday. And they're, you know, 42 carries, 177 yards. That also includes the Stonehouse play where he gets credited with minus 11 rushing yards on that play, which that's tough to see on that one. But Derrick Henry, 21 carries, 102 yards, 2 touchdowns before he got hurt. Spears, 16 carries, 75 yards. I mean, those two ran the ball really well. So you had the offensive line opening up some holes and doing pretty well in the running game yesterday, but pass blocking just appears to be more of the same, and it's hard to establish any rhythm whatsoever at quarterback when you're just being hit like that left and right.
Yeah. So it's not the same job. You know, there's two main jobs of an offensive lineman. They run blocked pretty well yesterday, and they can't pass block. I mean, it's the Colts are not the purple people eaters over here, okay?
No. Levis is pretty hard on himself after the game. Says probably his worst game as a Titan. What'd you think of that?
I mean, you can't. That's 2 weeks in a row he's ripped himself pretty good after a game. I thought yesterday was better than last week. And last week I thought was okay. He missed a couple throws. There's a few things that, you know, you'll be able to certainly nitpick the film, but man, how could the clock not speed up on you if you're a quarterback for this team right now? I mean, I think he stands in there with toughness and delivers a football, and he delivered a couple passes yesterday. Back foot, no step into the throw where it's all arm. And it's like, I don't think many people can make that throw the way you made it. So I thought he was pretty good. It'll be interesting after he watches the film, did he actually get sick when he watched the film? But, you know, that's good to see self-awareness and being able to call yourself out, I think. I think that's a good thing. I think it makes it a lot easier to be able to yell at people if you do that, right?
I agree.
So I think right now it's, if the season ended today, I mean, it'd be an easy call for me. Yeah, Levis is who you build around. I don't see that changing.
Treylon Burks played 11.1% of the offensive snaps yesterday, 9 total snaps for Burks in his return. So not much out there.
Yeah, and Phillips is a scratch. Yep. So that's an interesting combo of things. Obviously, they're going to try to get Burks more action, but are they just out on Phillips, or was that a game plan thing? I don't know. A lot more Chris Moore yesterday.
A lot more Chris Moore. NWI played 84% of the snaps offensively.
Rabel's going to get him to 100.
84% for that, NWI.
That should be one of the goals. Get NWI to 100% before the season's out, one of these games.
What a wild weekend. Got this Titans game, which is crazy. Conference championship weekend, college football playoff, and the reaction that's still pouring in on that. It's a heck of a weekend.
It was. And Packers look pretty good. Matt LaFleur looks pretty good.
Yeah, what a coach he is. Coach of the year. That's going to do it for us today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 The Game.